Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, November 19th. I'm Ray Graff. It's all aboard. We have train experts in studio today to talk about trains of yesteryear, some of those many railroads that crisscrossed our region back in the day. Also, model train collecting. Jeff Stedge and John Basile have decades of experience buying and selling model trains. They are experts on trains of yore. The Albany Train Show happens Saturday, November 22nd at the Polish Community Center in Albany. So we'll rev it up once again. Welcome these guys back to take your calls. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Or you may email your train-related comment or question to voxpop@wamc.org, 800-348-2551, back in a flash. Hello again, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Hey, the Albany Train Show is happening Saturday at the Polish Community Center in Albany. It is one of my favorite things. I've never actually been to it, but I love the concept of it, and I love that it's there. And, you know, my father, he played with trains. My brother played with trains. I was in the back on the CB radio. But trains are cool. So today we'll talk about trains. Both model trains are the real thing. Jeff Stedge is an avid collector of Lionel and other O-gauge trains, particularly American and German trains from the early 20th century. He's also well-versed in local railroad lore, particularly the history of the New York Central Line. John Basile has more than 50 years of collecting experience. He specializes in standard and wide-gauge trains from the early 20th century. He's also well-versed in early short-line railroads in the Capital District and the Adirondacks. The number to call if you want to talk trains, both real, imagined, futuristic, past, whatever, 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. John Basile, Jeff Stedge, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Yeah, we're glad you were here.
You know, it's great to have you guys on in advance of the Albany Train Show. Big doings, huh? Looks good.
Train talk. Yes, sir.
I went to the website. I put a link on to the train show from the show page for today. It's always exciting. I mean, I love seeing the look on faces of old people and young people, and there's something about it. It
sparks your imagination.
It's America.
It's America. And particularly this show, which is always the Saturday before Thanksgiving, we're getting into the holiday season.
Yep.
And it perfectly dovetails with that. Because I think back in the day, everybody remembers a train around the Christmas tree. And so it harkens back to the days of old, as they say.
I remember getting shocks on the train tracks. Don't touch that, boy.
Yeah. No, you're supposed to stay off the rail tracks.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I've been off the rails for some time now. John Basile, what's happening with you, man?
Well, I found something yesterday that I was totally surprised to find. First, I bought a couple things. You know, I'm an early collector, so I have a little trolley here.
Well, look at that with the electric.
And this actually is a wind-up. It's not an electric.
Well, train. No, it's got the thing on the top.
It actually goes with the trolley wire, but it is wind-up, not electric. And it was made about 1905 by the Ives Company. So I like these things.
Yeah, this is great. May I?
Sure.
I'll try not to drop it.
Ray, don't drop that.
If you break it, you buy it. It's the local suburban service trolley. This is a generic, or is this based on something?
Oh, it's generic, but it has a people catcher in the front of it there.
Oh, look at that.
So if the people are in the tracks, they get caught up in that, and they don't get run over.
You know, why don't we put these on our cars? You know what I mean?
Cars go a little faster than the trolleys.
So, listen, I remember, I know we've talked about this, the trolley tracks are still, you can still see them in parts of Albany. Right up on Quail Street, you used to be able to see them.
Yeah. Ubiquitous.
But yeah.
Everywhere.
Here's something I found yesterday.
Oh.
Totally surprising. It's one of these historical books. I went to the local CVS. And I found a book called Trolleys of the Capital District.
So cool.
And some guy by the name of Gino DiCarlo put all these photographs together. Well, I'm particularly interested in the Hudson Valley Railroad since it used to run right in front of my house, and I've been collecting photographs and brochures and stuff on that railroad. And this has a major section on the Hudson Valley Railroad in
Amazing.
It. But I haven't read it yet. I just got it.
So you brought it. You don't even know if it's any good.
Oh, I can tell you. It's
empty pages.
The pictures are nice.
Oh, the pictures are great.
Well, this series of books on the history of various towns and villages and cities in this, it's a great series. I have several of these, but I do not have this one.
They do a great job, yeah.
Well, I was surprised. I look at these all the time for something like this, and I found this yesterday. And it's been around for a while, since 2006.
Right.
I was totally flabbergasted.
Well, good for you. That's a good pickup. We are joined today by Jeff Stege and John Basile. It's Trains Today. The Albany Train Show happens Saturday at the Polish Community Center. By the way, what time is that on Saturday?
9 to 3.
9 to 3. And will you be there?
I will be there, as well as the Polish food that they serve over there. Polish food.
I got to contact those people. You contact them for me because
I'll take care of
them. I have
a
couple open food Fridays next year, and I want to get them back. They've been on before.
That's interesting. Yeah. They do a good job over there.
Yeah. And since I'm now perhaps the least inspired producer of this program in 30 years, I need all the help I can get. So have them give me a call.
Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. What's that big train you got there,
Stitch? Okay, so this monster over here, we wanted to bring the contrast, if you will, the dichotomy.
Between the trolley and this?
Well, between the old and the new, right?
This is a new train?
So this is 1905, and this is about 2010. And this represents a live prototype engine that you would see on any rail. This is CSX. It's called an AC6000. It's a monster diesel.
It's diesel still.
Yes,
do they still run diesel on these?
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised.
This is diesel. And in fact, with this thing, this does everything in the world. It talks to you. It smokes. And you wouldn't think a
model.
Diesel would smoke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's got little fans in the back.
Oh, cool.
And this is what the difference is in terms of what you're seeing today. So
this is a CSX 670 engine. And this is an HO scale? What is this?
No, this is all O scale. Now, here's a really interesting thing. Ray, look at you, segueing nicely.
Okay.
If you look at the bottom of this train,
right,
you're going to look at the difference, the width between the wheels.
It's about, an inch and a half?
Yeah. You see this?
Oh, inch
Johnny's
and a quarter.
Little thing there?
And the trolley is
the same gauge.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, so
so
this the difference is this is gauge, meaning that the width of the track is the same gauge. The scale is different. So this is a scale piece. That was more toy-like and designed
Amazing.
To be on limited proportions.
Now,
but
I should just let you know, you got to keep that mic close. You know, you had it on your throat. If you're going to do Nepalese throat singing, that's fine. But otherwise...
I had to lean in.
Sorry. There you go.
I was all excited about showing you the gauge there.
Just calm down, Jeff.
Okay.
It's Trains Today with Jeff Stege and John Basile. The Albany Train Show is happening. 800-348-2551. Train Show is Saturday at the Polish Community Center on Washington Ave, extension in Albany. I was watching this show on the Military History Channel, and I don't know, I kind of came in halfway through, but the Nazis at one point had this plan to disrupt all the service of trains that moved all the war materials. And I think this was in... Was it World War One? Oh, it wouldn't be the Nazis then, the Germans. I did not know that under Grand Central, seven stories down, are all these electrical turbines. Do you know about this?
Yes.
And, you know, I guess it's still sort of secret, but apparently it was power for all of the East Coast trains, or at least in the Northeast Corridor.
Yeah, so those turbines would have controlled the... Now, one of the things, and you bring this up, is that in 1904, there was a bad accident where they had steam trains coming into the Grand Central Terminal. And part of the problem was, is obviously, if you have a steam train, think of the amount of smoke this is generating.
Yeah.
Okay, so what they went over to was an electric. And that was a big thing that they had was at outside of the terminal and outside of the city, there was a crossover. So the steam train would bring it down to a certain point, and then the electric would bring it into Grand Central Terminal. And so this would power the electric trains all over.
Yeah. And this trolley, John, that you brought, which, again, they had them in Albany. They had them in probably Schenectady and all the big cities and towns.
Everywhere.
Even, you're from Mechanicville, right?
Well, I'm from Stillwater.
Stillwater, right.
But there was actually between Mechanicville and Stillwater in 1890, there was a railroad, only it was a trolley, and it was horse-drawn trolley.
Wow.
And then they electrified it a little bit later in the 1890s, about 1897, I think.
The voltage needed to do this, do you have any idea about these trolleys and how much in Albany they needed, how much juice they needed to run these?
It's not a lot.
Really?
Believe it or not, no. But, of course, they had 600-volt DC, and then they went to AC, and they're different designs that were used. And, in fact, there was a time when I worked without all that to provide the power to Metro North in New York City. Yep, because there were power plants built in Manhattan that had the purpose of providing special power for operating the railroads in what's now the MTA in New York City. And then the cycles in AC were 25 cycles.
Oh.
Not 60 cycles.
Wow, amazing.
Like what we're all used to.
I didn't know that.
I sure did, because I was responsible for the engineering work for them.
Wow. The number here, by the way, is 800-348-2551. It's Trains at Model Trains with Jeff Stedge and John Basile. We'll take a break here in a moment. I've told you guys before, but there's this very relaxing show, and I don't even know what channel it's on anymore, where it just they put a camera on the front of a train and it goes around it. And there's one in Sweden, and there's one in Japan, and I had been watching the one on Japan. They're all electric there, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are there advantages to the electric train over, say, diesel or something else, aside from pollution in general?
Well, in terms of the performance, I think you'll notice that in Europe, it's an entirely different infrastructure than we have here. And part of the reason for that was that after World War II, those guys got bombed into oblivion, right? They got bombed back to the Stone Age.
Yeah.
So it gave them an opportunity to rebuild that infrastructure from the start.
Right.
And so a lot of the trains over there are high-speed trains.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's been that conversation that we've been having in the United States for many, many years. It seems like it's a lot of money, and it's a back-and-forth thing.
Had that conversation about high-speed trains or changing over to electric?
Both. You know, the reality of it is that here, you know, if we had a high speed, I know that California, they have a high speed rail that they're putting in out there. And that's been disruptive in many ways because they're building it over farmland. They're building it,
right,
you know, through suburbia. But it's a high speed rail, and it gets people and it is unbelievably smooth.
Really? Have you tried it?
You know what? Much like you not going to the train show, so, I also.
So how do you know it's sweat? Maybe it's very bumpy. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. The train show is Saturday at the Polish Community Center. Jeff Stedge, John Basile are here. It's a train show, but why not some relaxing music from Henry Mancini and the orchestra? Let's head down to Dreamsville. I tell you, I love that one. That's from Henry Mancini. That's from the Peter Gunn soundtrack. Such a relaxing tune. It's not exactly apropos for the program about trains. They should have something that goes, you know, what was that one? Johnny Mercer, right? The Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. You want to sing that?
No, if you like,
no,
sure.
No, please don't. 800-348-2551 is the number. VoxPop@WAMC.org. All right, here we go. Michael writes in, please discuss the recently announced plans to bring Metro North rail service to Albany and what that might mean for the future of train service in the Northeast. By the way, I love this. When I lived down there in Westchester, Metro North was great. You get in this, in those days, I got in the city for $7.
It's cheap, Ray.
That was quite a long time ago. What do you guys think about this?
So what do you need to know? How is it a bad thing? It's really, it's a great opportunity because right now, the choices that you have are, and having experienced this myself, you can go to Rensselaer. Beautiful train station, by the way.
I love it, yeah.
Designed by a buddy of mine, as it turns out.
Really?
Yes, Mike Roth designed it.
Hang on.
That.
The breaking news is that you have a buddy, but we'll stop right there. So anyway.
So when you go down to, if you've priced out Amtrak going down to New York City, I think it's about $85.
Okay.
It is not cheap. It's not cheap, Ray. Ray, it's not cheap. If you go down to Poughkeepsie, if you take the hour and a half drive and park down there and get on the train and take you right into Grand Central Terminal, it's going to be...
Well, it's not too many prices, although you don't
$16.
Yeah, okay, that's great.
Right? So the choice is, and of course the other thing is that Amtrak's taking you to Penn Station and then Metro North takes you right into Grand Central. So if they had a train up here, and I assume it's going to come out of... Rensselaer, because it's the only place it could
honestly,
come out of.
I don't know.
I think it's the only place it can come out of. It's going to be a tremendous savings. And one of the other challenges, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, Amtrak is not always on time. They're not exacting in their schedule.
Okay, all right.
So Metro North, love it. I think it would be a great boon to the Dr. Basile, what are your thoughts?
Well, I used to ride Metro North. In and out of Manhattan.
Yeah.
And when I lived in that area, and I can tell you, it worked well, and it was on time. And so I think it's a little further from, say, Albany down there.
Yeah,
but,
right.
And there's other issues related to it, but I suspect they would cater specifically to the people that need to commute in and out of the city.
Yeah.
And that could be a real advantage.
That train used to get pretty raucous coming back from the city from a concert or a ball game. Oh, that Metro North was a lot of fun back in the day.
And you were the guy bringing the beer on.
They used to sell it.
Yes,
they used to sell it right there.
Yeah, yeah. Or you used to buy it on the train.
A couple of pops on the old Metro North. Hey, you mentioned you think it's going to be in Rensselaer, which is right. When was the last time there was passenger train service on this side, on the Albany side?
That's a good question. Now you have the Amtrak train does go over the Hudson and goes all the way out to Buffalo. So it's not without precedent that you have a train on the west side. The thing is, I don't think you have tracks that go all the way down to New York City on the west side. I think they go, and I'm going to be misquoting this, and I got a lot of friends of mine who know the answer to this.
Okay, maybe they'll call.
Maybe they won't. But certainly on the east side, obviously you have rail that goes all the way down. And, once you get down to Westchester and Rockland County, obviously there's rails that go on the western side of the Hudson. But
my favorite part of the train trip down to the city is—
The alcohol.
Well, that obviously. But, I mean, going past Bannerman Castle.
Oh, yeah.
I just love looking at that as
the
train. All right, let's take some calls here. We'll get back to the emails in a moment. 800-348-2551 is the number. Trains today with the dynamic Jeff Stege and John Basile. Let's go to Pleasant Valley. Susan, you're on. Hello.
Okay.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Sure,
I have my speaker on. So the Lionel trains we had when we were kids, my brother and I, of course, we don't have them anymore. I think they ended up in the dump. But
oh, no, don't say that.
Do you remember one? I know. I don't want to think about it. But do you remember one that had either a boxcar or a caboose, a silhouette of a cop chasing a hobo around?
Sure. Yeah, sadly enough, this is how sad it becomes to be a train guy. That was the Lionel. It was a 3444. It was a red gondola, which is a low-sided car. It's a flat car with low sides on it. And it had what they called a load in the middle. So it was almost like there were some boxes. And, yes, the cop would chase the robber around.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
You remember it, yeah. And sadly enough, I remember the number of that car.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he knows that number, Susan, ought to give you pause, you know? Well, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Chris writes in, have any of you guys tried the new Acela locomotive? If so, what do you think?
I have ridden Acela, and this was a number of years ago when it first came out, and I remember sitting in the club car and watching the speedometer at 150 miles an hour when we were just going into the western part of Rhode Island. That was impressive. Yeah, but getting through parts of Connecticut was a little bit slow because of the amount of switches.
So it wasn't exactly high speed all the time. All right, fair enough.
You enjoy it while you can, Ray.
Right. And how long does it take to slow a huge train down? That's a question. I mean, you always find about these nitwits who get on the tracks and get killed because they think, oh, the train's this far away.
Yeah.
How long does it take to stop a train?
And there's some nitwits that you'd think do that intentionally. So,
all right. Well, thanks for bringing it down. Jeez. 800-348-2551. Peter writes in, what's the derivation and distinction between an engineer and a conductor?
Well, the engineer runs the train. And the conductor basically is the guy that interacts with the passengers and makes sure that they're behaving and that they got tickets.
Okay.
So he's not driving the train. You know, the engineer is the guy that's driving that train, and he's got the credentials. The conductor's just got a nice hat and a nice suit. And
all right, five points awarded. John?
And you hope the conductor has a nice smile.
Really?
There you go. Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. We'll go to Catskill. Hello, Steve.
Oh, great show today. I got an answer for one of your previous questions about when was the last passenger train run on the west shore line of the Hudson River from Albany down to Weehawken, New Jersey.
Thank you.
My great uncle was a tower operator in Newburgh, and the last passenger train was in September of 1959.
Wow. How far north did that go, Steve?
It went from Weehawken, New Jersey, which is right across from West 42nd Street in Manhattan, and it went to Union Station up in Albany.
Wow. Okay.
And I think it was called Kenwood Junction. That's just off of South Pearl Street there. The New York Central actually had to use about a mile of Delaware and Hudson trackage on that line to get into Union Station.
Huh. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Listen, my main question today is, do you know anything about the Glenwood Power Station that was operated by the New York Central in Yonkers? Is that still there? And has that been, somebody told me it's been preserved?
I know that there was a group that was working on that. I don't know what the status of it is, but I do know that, and it's interesting because there are quite a few groups of different people throughout the Capital District and quite honestly all over the place that are looking to preserve these older railroad structures. And that certainly falls into that. And you know, the problem is how much money can you get for these projects? That's the problem.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Is it true that Glenwood Power Station supplied all the power to run the New York Central Third Rail District?
Steve? You have stumped us.
Wow.
So we're going to have to, I'm going to do a little bit of research in that and see what we can come up with. Dr. Basile, any thoughts?
Good enough.
Steve,
I don't know the answer to that question.
We don't know the answer to that question, Steve.
Nobody asked me.
Ray, do you know the answer to that?
No, I don't know the answer to that question. Okay. Jacob writes in, hey, Metro even more north. Why stop at Albany? Send it to Montreal.
Oh.
What do you think?
I think it's ambitious enough that they got here. And remember, kids, Metro North is really, first and foremost, a commuter railroad.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to think about how many people are going to be commuting from Montreal all the way down to Albany. Not many.
Albany, definitely, you could see some customers on
that. Yeah, sure. Without a doubt. I mean, with Amtrak, there is a steady stream of customers that are regulars on that go from Rensselaer. They work down in New York City, and then they get back on that train and come back up at night. So, yeah, it's a commuter line, first and foremost. And, you know, to extend the thought that it would go beyond that up to Montreal is that's a nice
wish. It's a stretch. Now, it's didn't a stretch, Amtrak, yes. And by the way, I'll get back to the phones in a moment. 800, I get talking about trains, I get excited.
I know, you get caught up. You get, you're on the right track, though.
Thank
right.
you. 800-348-2551. Wasn't there a time that the service between Albany and Plattsburgh didn't happen, or is it not happening now?
Yeah, there was a time. It was actually
Rensselaer and Plattsburgh.
So Rensselaer to Plattsburgh, and then from Plattsburgh on to Montreal,
yeah.
There was a lot of construction that was going on.
Was it COVID related too, or
there was a number of different factors? But a friend of ours actually was a lobbyist for the railroads and passenger railroads, and he had discussed it with us, and he said that there was a going from Plattsburgh to Montreal, they wanted to put in high-speed rail. And
right.
They were unable to do that because there was a lot of construction and rehabilitation that they were doing on the rails at the time.
Well, I tell you what, though, it's a beautiful – I remember it well from 30, 40 years ago, taking that run from Plattsburgh down here. Yeah, it's a fun, beautiful –
Beautiful, and it goes through some really beautiful country.
Yeah, sure right? does. Let's go back to our phone lines. Jeff Stege and John Basile join us today. The Albany Train Show is Saturday at the Polish Community Center in Albany, out there on Washington Ave Extension. It's, what, 9 to 3, you said, yeah?
9 to 3.
All right, let's go to LaGrangeville. Andrew, you're on.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good. Great.
I think I heard you mention 30 hertz was running the trains. The electric trains. I was curious what the thought process or what that was all about.
Well, it was 25 hertz. And
25.
In the early days of the electric industry, the utility industry, there were a number of different frequencies that were tried. And if, as you probably know, Europe is all 50 hertz. And versus 60 hertz here in the North America, so the real reason for it, I really don't know, other than it probably had to do more with the technical requirements of the generators themselves and what the operation would have been to achieve 25 hertz. And there are different ways of doing it. When I was working in the city, in New York City, we actually had 25 hertz generators being run by 60 hertz motors.
Interesting.
And there were motor generators.
So it's step down of some kind. Interesting. Yes. That's fascinating. Andrew, you want to follow up very quickly?
Well, so I guess it sounds like just out of convenience and ease, possibly, then, right?
Well, I would say it was probably more based on what they could manufacture at the time in the way of equipment. Because as you may know, if you go back to the turn of the century, there weren't very many houses that had electricity in this country. And so you had more DC distributed electricity than you had AC.
Yeah.
At the turn of the century, and it took a while before AC took
right.
the priority over the DC.
The Tesla Edison battle. 800-348-2551 is our number. Let's see now. We'll go to Lee and Brad. Brad, Lee, you're on.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
great.
Welcome.
I have a question about what your opinion is of these new computer train simulators. Going back to the day many years ago, I had an N-scale setup, but I had to move and all that other good stuff, and I don't have room in the apartment nowadays. So I've gone to a computer simulator.
Huh.
I was wondering if you guys had any opinions on that stuff.
So let me turn the tables on you and say, what's your opinion? Because you're using them, and obviously it's one of those things that makes a great alternative. If you don't have room, how do you enjoy it? Do you like it?
Well, when I had the N scale, my goal was to model the line from Pittsfield to North Adams, that
Absolutely.
Old spur there, that
yep.
old...
Yep.
But what I've gotten into now, I can do the entire Boston and Albany route.
Okay, so you tell me. It sounds like you can have a lot of fun with that. So,
I can run Berkshires up through the Taconic, up through the into Pittsfield from the Taconics, and
I've never heard of such a thing. I've heard of flight simulators, but train simulators don't sound as exciting. You're on a rail. You know where you're going.
I have one for
you. Get to.
Oh, John has one.
I have one for real live steam. I don't like it, but it is a live steam simulator.
Why don't you like it?
Because I like playing with the toys more.
Something tactile. Yeah,
we got to put our hands on something. We like to be able to put our hands on something.
They're very simple people, Brad. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It's Trains Today with Jeff Stedge and John Basile, and we'll be right back. Let's go get stoned. That's John Scofield doing the old Ray Charles classic. 800-348-2551 is the number. Okay, it's Trains, and it's John Basile and Jeff Stedge. Jeff in Troy writes in, New York Central Power Plants. The Glenwood Power Plant was not the only plant that generated power to run Third Rail electric trains out of Grand Central. There was another plant at Port Morris on the East River in the Bronx.
Thank you, Jeff. I don't have to do research. Thank you.
He did your homework for you.
Did my homework for me.
All right, splendid. A couple more emails, and then we'll jump back to the phones. Dave in Clarence says, coins squished on the tracks is the subject heading. Okay. We used to put pennies on the train tracks to flatten them almost paper thin. Is that going to be something I could do with a silver dollar these days, or would I get arrested for tampering with federal property?
They don't like you to do that.
No?
They don't like you to put coins on a track.
You know, you would think that a little tiny thing like that wouldn't impact the train, but you know, just the right way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? Wait, it can't.
A
silver dollar is going to flip a train over?
It won't flip the train over, but they don't like you to get on a train for obvious reasons. I mean, you know, it's a big train, it's a little coin. You don't want to get hit by the big train coming by.
Well, you don't have to keep your hand on it.
I understand that, but, you know, they don't like you getting
on. Listen, I've never done it, and I don't care. Liz in Kingston writes, I believe conductors are trained to do more than just interact with passengers. They fix door problems, help evacuate trains in an emergency, among other things, probably.
She is correct, but they don't run the train.
Well,
and they do wear a nice cap.
Okay. Telesport writes in, I live in East Chatham, about 150 miles from the Albany-Boston CSX line, on which the Boston leg of the Lakeshore Limited also runs when it is restored. There used to be a station here. I know Chatham Village was a major rail hub post-Civil War. One could take a Budliner to Grand Central as late as the 70s. Could you elaborate on this history?
So it's funny because we actually have somebody that is out in New Lebanon, and they're trying to restore this little depot that's out in, and I think I had actually brought this up to you and showed you pictures of it. And Chatham, all these little burgs out in the middle of nowhere, back in the day, these were crossroads of the country, and Chatham was one of them because the D&H went through there. I think the Boston and Maine went through there. And I don't know what other short lines went through there as well, but it was a major hub,
John,
at one point.
Do you want to add anything to that? You're the expert on short lines.
No. Last time I rode in a Bud train car was 1971.
What's a Budliner?
Well, of course, we had steam trains, but operating steam locomotives cost a lot of money and take a lot of maintenance. And so they ran all the trains for 100 years. But after World War II, they took a passenger car and put a diesel engine in it. And the Bud Corporation did it.
Okay.
And they called them Budliners. And that was a much simpler operation. And they could do short passenger runs for less money.
Yeah, okay.
And it was also an abbreviated train. You wouldn't normally have in a Budliner.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have 8 or 10 cars. You know, you may have 3 or 4 cars in a Budliner.
All right, let's go back to our phone lines with Jeff Stege and John Basile. The Albany Train Show is Saturday at the Polish Community Center in Albany, and we'll go to Guilford, Connecticut. Terry, you're on.
Hi. I was hearing about east-west rail passenger proposal from Albany to Boston, going through the Pittsfield area, not North Adams. And also there was another thing with Metro North, a proposal that was apparently delayed a couple of years, where they'll go from New Rochelle and take the route over the Hell's Gate Bridge and bring the New Haven line over into Penn Station.
I remember hearing about this, but I never heard anything come of it. And this was not, 3, 4, 5 years ago now?
Yeah, it sounds about right, yeah.
Well, it's been a couple years that I've heard about it, and I did hear something about it being put on hold. Of course, a lot of things have lately.
Yeah.
Also, in regard to 25 hertz, living here in Connecticut, I know... back in the 80s, there used to be a power station in Cobb, Connecticut, right on the Mianus River, that they tore down. They said it was historic. And I remember back in the early 80s, when I lived in New Canaan, at the very end of a branch line there, I used to walk by a transformer, and I remember hearing the 25 cycle, like a raspy buzzing sound. Of the transformer as I walked to the train.
Now, that wasn't inside your head, was it?
Oh, no. Hey, now.
Okay, I'm just asking.
No, I'm sure that wasn't the case, Terry, was it?
No, well, I did have my fun back in those days.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so, thank you for that. You guys want to comment at all? Nope. Well, Terry, thanks a lot for the call. John writes in, what was the train line behind the house I grew up in on Sawmill River Road in Hastings-on-Hudson? Sawmill River Road, Hastings-on-Hudson. What was the train line?
That was New York Central.
Was it?
It had to be.
Yeah. That was, what did they call it? The middle route. It ran, I forgot how long. I did know because I lived in the area that was served by it for many years.
All right. Well, John, thanks for that. Pamela writes in from Troy. I remember taking a train to and from Chatham at least once in the 60s, also greeting or seeing off visitors traveling by train there. So it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. No, it was a major hub for certainly, 60s. You know, in the beginning of the century, for sure.
Jeff writes in, Metro North scheduled to begin in spring of 26 to extend stops to Rhinecliff, Hudson, and Albany, according to our current governor, says Jeff. There you go. Do you want to comment? You know, Jeff Stege, this is the most least loquacious you have ever been on a program. Are you all right? Are you on your meds?
I can't get a word in edgewise, Ray.
Really? All right, so let's go to Salisbury, Connecticut. Patty, you're on. Hello, Patty.
Hello. Hello. I love this discussion. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Wouldn't have been my adjective, but there you go. Go ahead. You're on.
I called in because, and it's the first time I've ever called in to a radio show, but because you were discussing train bus, and one time I was in Boston years ago getting ready to take a train in the evening to New York City, and I love trains, absolutely love trains from the time I was childhood and went back and forth across the country with, you know, my family on trains from, you know, Georgia to California and such. And so I'm a big train buff. So there I am, and there's an older gentleman sitting there. We're the only people on the train. And so I went over to him, and I liked to travel first class, you know, splurge and do first class. We were in first class. And I walked over to him, and I said, you know, I love trains, and we're the only people here. Would you care for some conversation?
That was very bold of you.
Was? It was. I was young. He seemed like a lovely person. In fact, he was a real curmudgeon. Do you know who it was?
No.
Roger Whittaker, who was E.M. Frembo.
Roger.
If that rings a bell with you.
Roger Whittaker, the singer?
Roger Whittaker, the train buff, the man who wrote for The New Yorker,
the
name E.M.
Frembo. Oh, isn't that something?
And he wrote about trains. He was well-to-do. He had his own train and his own train track somewhere private in Connecticut.
I have heard of that, yes.
He knew about trains all over the world. I mean, he was a world authority on trains.
And so you guys dated for a while?
Are you kidding? No, we chatted on the trip to New York.
Now, wait, you said he was a jerk, though, right? Isn't that the bottom line?
I did not say that at all.
All right, just checking.
He was a gentleman.
Okay.
But
Ray, you're worse than I am.
He knew people like Auden. And so he chatted with me. He chatted with me when he was really kind of a curmudgeon, but then he warmed up and chatted with me about trains all over the world. He was an advisor to people who were, countries who were building trains and all sorts of things all over the world.
What a great story.
And he was good friends with the poet Auden. So it was a wonderful train trip. And I grew up in the South in Atlanta, where the train stations then were opulent. They were gorgeous. They were huge and big and, tremendous. And so if you went to something like that, it was very special. And I loved going to old train stations. I lived in Worcester, Mass, where there had been a wonderful, but these got torn down, sadly. They weren't maintained as part of the history of the country.
I agree, and I think that's a sin.
I wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, Patty, thanks a lot.
And not only were they not maintained. Yeah, thank you guys for this fabulous conversation.
You know
what,
Patty?
That was a great call. Thanks again. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Trains Today. The Albany Train Show is Saturday at the Polish Community Center in Albany, New York, Washington Ave Extension, 9 to 3, don't you know? Jeff Stedge will be there. John Basile will be there. We were talking about train music earlier.
It's the most fun you can have standing up.
How the Henry Mancini music I put on was not necessarily train apropos. Jacob in Stratford, New Jersey says, Pat Metheny, last train home.
Oh, excellent choice.
Good idea. Well, thank you for that one. Let's see. Who's been waiting longest? It looks like Rob in Averill Park. Rob, you're on.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great.
So I wanted to make a comment, I guess. I was a conductor on New Jersey Transit for 10 years, and as the conductor, the engineer doesn't move unless you tell him to go.
Okay, so you're really in charge.
The conductor
is in charge of the train.
He drives, definitely. He's also the scapegoat if something goes wrong. trust me, something goes wrong, you're in trouble. But, yeah, the engineer can't move that train unless the engineer gives them the okay to go.
Okay, that's good information. Now, did you have a nice cap and a nice uniform?
Yes, I still have them.
Excellent.
Nice. Well, that's great. Rob, thanks a lot for the call.
Thanks for calling in, Rob.
By the way, Jeff writes in, Sawmill River Line by Hastings-on-Hudson, that was the old Putt Line. Putnam. Yep.
Oh, yes, right, which was part of the New York Central.
All right,
they called it the Putt Line.
Let's go to Pittsfield. Damon, you're on.
Yes, I have.
Oh, you got to turn that radio down a little bit, Damon, okay?
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Yes. I'd like to know, where can I go to become, how do I become an engineer? Can I go to school? I don't even go to school to get your CDL, commercial driver.
Okay, that's a good question.
An engineer?
Fair question. What do you think, fellas? How do you get into the business?
So, oddly enough, the railroad world is a very...
There's a lot of nepotism. Yes.
You got to be born into that.
Really?
Man. Yeah. Oh, just about. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. Well, yeah, but there that are, doesn't seem fair to Damon.
I would say, Damon, I'll tell you what. I don't know if you've heard of this thing called Google, but I would try to look on there, and there's got to be some information about how you can become an engineer.
I mean, it's probably like any job,
right.
To get in radio, you got to get your foot in the door, work the overnight shift, do this and that. I bet you there's some kind of job. If it's lighting your fire and you really want to do it, I'll bet you can get something that gets your foot in the door. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Suzanne is in Benson, Vermont. Suzanne, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for this particular topic. I'm a little nervous. I'm wondering,
don't be nervous.
I don't know if you've addressed this before, what line runs across the lake on the New York side? Because it seems like they have over 100 cars. It goes to Albany with fuel, and then it goes north to where? Montreal. I'm not talking about the Amtrak, because I know the Amtrak
so there's goes a freight
from
train
New York
line.
City.
Okay.
What's it called?
It's freight, yeah. So I think it uses the same rail line as the passenger train.
It does. But
yeah.
my issue is it's the narrow part of the lake, and there's this little tiny trestle. They're always trying to fix it up. And I thought that New York decided there weren't supposed to be as many cars. And they have fuel. What are they carrying? Looks like they're carrying fuel. It's like over 100 cars sometimes.
Interesting.
So where are they getting fuel? Someone told me from like Michigan or somewhere, and then it goes down to Albany. Is that correct?
Well, there's a lot of commodities that get transported on that freight line. I can't speak to exactly where a lot of that stuff comes from because it comes from a lot of various areas. And so
who's the company?
Well,
I'd like to write to the company because if we have a disaster with all those barrels of oil going, Lake Champlain's a goner.
Oh, that's a great point.
I mean, it goes over the little trestle. It crosses right through the old Putnam station. I happen to live at the lower end of Lake Champlain. So I'm like near across from Stony Point, it's called.
Yeah.
And then across from that is Putnam, where the old post office used to be, Putnam, New York. And it's frightening. I mean, sometimes they have like 120 cars.
They might be empty, though, right?
That. No? I don't think so. They go down south and then they come north.
All right. So, John Basile, you were about to say something.
Well, of course, I'm not sure which line. I was first thinking it was Norfolk Southern, but no, that's south.
I think it's Canadian Pacific.
It could be. It would be either one of those. Canadian Pacific or Norfolk Southern, but Canadian Pacific runs all over.
How would she find out? And don't say
Google. I need to call them because there's so many cars.
I do think it's Canadian Pacific. I think you can reach out to those guys.
Well, the question I'd ask you, what town do you live in?
I live in Benson, Vermont, right across from Putnam.
Well,
and that train goes right through Whitehall, New York, too. It goes all the way down to, I heard it went to Albany. But I know the commuter train goes from New York to Montreal.
Okay.
I do that every day.
Here's what I would do, having been involved in a political position, an elected political position. I'd call the Whitehall, I don't remember, but the Whitehall's a city or which town it is.
Is it a city?
Mm-hmm. A tiny town, Whitehall.
Well, I think if you call the clerk, you can probably find out the clerk, the town or the city clerk, and you can probably find out from them what
brilliant
train line goes through there.
Suzanne, thanks a lot for the call. And all right, so we have time for perhaps one more here, and then we'll talk briefly about the big event Saturday. Quickly to Dave in Altamont. Dave, you're on.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing? I like trains. I used to live in Syracuse. And I would occasionally take the train from Syracuse to New York City, but it's way too long. So I was wondering, they have tracks parallel to Route 81, and why didn't they ever build a train passenger from Syracuse to New York when it would be so much shorter?
Interesting.
So my guess is the economics. It's all about money, Dave.
Oh.
That's the reason.
Well, it can't be cheap to go all around the whole
to go out to Albany and then down. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Dave, we're out of time pretty much. What's the train? Why is there no train to some of these SUNY towns? Binghamton, Oswego, Oneonta. Why? Why, sir? Why?
it's easy because the economic – at one time there certainly were trains.
Yeah, there was tons
of the economics all changed. The amount of passengers.
I give you one word, Ray. Automobile.
You know what? I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. All right, automobile. Jeff Stedge, tell us again about the Albany Train Show. We're just about out of time.
Okay, the Albany Train Show will be 9 to 3 on Saturday at the Polish Community Center, and it will be a lot of fun. There will be 100 vendor tables of trains and train-related items.
Now, can you do me a favor, both of you guys?
Yes,
sir. Wear either a hat or right on your forehead, Jeff Stedge or John Basile, so people can walk up and say, oh, I heard you on the radio show.
Orange shirt. Look for the orange shirt.
Really?
Yeah.
So at the railroad event, there's only going to be one person with
There'll
an orange
There'll be a couple
shirt.
Of guys with orange shirts, but they'll look for the orange shirts. Yeah. We'll get you there.
Fine. And I'll have a badge.
He'll have a badge. All right. What does the badge say?
My name.
Oh, good for you. All right. That'll work.
And I'm going to wear pants.
Support comes from John Keel Music, offering instrument rentals in-store and online, supplies, music, and repairs. School delivery available, johnkeelmusic.com. All right. Thanks to John Basile a lot and Jeff Stedge just slightly less for being here today on the program. The big train show is Saturday at the Polish Community Center, and thank you for listening. Sorry if we didn't get to your question. By the way, regular correspondent Catherine says there are probably plenty of jobs at the Selkirk Switchyard. Maybe Damon could start there. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Andrea Leong screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Astronomy with Bob Berman and Dr. Valerie Rapson. We'll talk about the new pictures of Comet 3I Atlas. Maybe it's not a comet. Maybe it's the end. If we're still here, we'll see you too.